And I'll get that started in just a moment. The piece of music is, the title is Veni Sancte Spiritus. Pastor Waterstrat, did you take your Latin when you were in school? I imagine you had a little bit of Latin. Just a little. You know, if you look at the top, if you look at the top of the Bible study handout, you were the Latin teacher, you would have to correct me on 2 points. And one of them is that sanctus is a noun, I believe, but it's supposed to be an adjective. Should be sancte, sancte. So it would be veni, comma, sancte spiritus. So I spelled that wrong. S-A-N-C-T-E, long E, long E. See, Pastor Olhorn would be able to correct me on that too. So I'm confessing my poor Latin. It's been a long time. You know, I took Latin when I was 15. And I will admit to you that that wasn't my best class. But anyway, before you play that piece of music, I just want to emphasize that the definition is Come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. And it is a song for Pentecost. Beautiful song that various choirs that I've been in actually have done that song. And this one is by the Martin Luther College Choir some years back, maybe 2016 or so. So let's play that piece of music. Veni Sancte Spiritus, Come Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
There, no, not again. That little, what is that instrument that's used to
get that?
What is it again?
Wind
chimes. Wind chimes, yeah, thank you. It's like the Holy Spirit coming.
I probably missed this. That's a Pentecost anthem about the work of the Holy Spirit. Work of the Holy Spirit is sanctification. Sanctification is how we are made holy in the sight of God by the power of the Spirit and the Word within us.
How many of you went to early service today? Many of you did? Okay. The Bible class this morning is a great follow-up to Pastor Ohlhorn's message this morning. Just nearly perfect. And I'd like to say that I coached him and it was planned, but it wasn't. It just happened. And it's just great when it happens like that. I've often said to you that, some of the things, if you follow the church calendar and you try to make Bible classes match up with what's going on in the church year, with the festivals and so on, sometimes those scripture readings and so forth, those match so well with what's going on in Bible class. That's not always perfect, but this time it really did match well. The early Christian church, we could say, had its birthday on Pentecost. Pentecost, which took 10 days, took place 10 days after our Lord's ascension into heaven. And we know that at the ascension, Jesus gave his disciples instructions to be his witnesses, to carry the gospel throughout the world. Is that the first time he gave them those instructions? Almost certainly not. The Bible tells us in the Gospel of Matthew, in Luke, as one of the scripture readings was taken from the Gospel of Luke. So probably many times, as the sermon related today, probably many times and many occasions, Jesus took that opportunity during those 40 days after his resurrection until his ascension, took many opportunities to remind the disciples that now it was time for them to feed his lambs and feed his sheep and carry the gospel to all nations. So the introduction, I'd just like to go through this and then we'll get into the Bible study, which today includes another movie, and this movie has to do with spreading the gospel. Oh, one more thing before we take the introduction, turn to the back side. I actually made copies from my Concordia Bible Study NIV version Bible. When Pastor Ohlhorn talked about the circles of the gospel, and you look at that first one, upper left corner, so northwest corner, that's the one that's got the number one circled. So by 35 AD, and that's within a few years after the ascension of Jesus, the circle is just around Jerusalem, right? That's number one. But notice how the concentric circles, widen to 2, to 3, to 4, to 5. This is what Jesus meant when he said, first in Jerusalem, and then to Samaria, and then, without being specific, then to the ends of the earth. The gospel was going to spread. Jesus knew this, and he knew that his disciples were going to be his witnesses, his instruments for spreading the gospel. And so even in the book of Acts, which talks about the growth of the early Christian church, we see this growth. And it starts happening with the missionary journeys of Paul. If you look at those maps, map number 2 takes us out to the region that's north of the land of Israel, which in the Bible it's called Asia Minor. Today's geography, that would be the country of Turkey, okay, yep. And Tarsus is the city. We're looking at the map, upper map on the right. Tarsus is the city of Paul's birth, and Paul actually, on Paul's first mission journey, he preached on the island of Cyprus. And then you go to the third map, and that it's there is the how the gospel has spread kind of throughout the peninsula. It's called the Anatolian Peninsula, today's geography, and then that's, you recognize some of those places like Colossus. The book of Colossians was written to those Christians at Colossus. And Ephesus, you know, that's where Paul went on that first missionary journey. And then number four, right in the middle of the page, is really where we are in today's Bible study. That's where the gospel is spread across the Aegean Sea into what today would be Macedonia and Greece. Okay? And then later on, number five, the gospel spreads out Paul's third missionary journey all the way out to Rome, where Paul actually is brought to Rome to be put on trial. And we don't have time today to go through all of those missionary journeys. That would be a Bible study in itself and probably a worthwhile one. But if you look at the last map on the bottom, I tried to outline the setting with darker arrows where Paul comes to the coastal city of Troas and then crosses over into Macedonia, and the first town actually that he stopped, according to the history in the book of Acts, is at Philippi. And at Philippi there is this wonderful story that shows how the Holy Spirit works and how God works with his missionaries and also works with the people who are converted by the power of the word, and the gospel continues to grow that way. Okay? So we're going to take a look at that lesson. We're moving kind of quickly here, but I want to look at Acts chapter 16, and I'm going to read through the text, starting with verse 6 of Acts 16. And when we finish the text, then I'm going to show you the movie To the Ends of the Earth. I know there are discussion questions on there. They're pretty simple questions, and that can be your own personal Bible study if you want to go through those questions on your own. But after we finish the reading, then it's going to be time for the movie, because the movie takes 30 plus minutes. And there's a lot to be learned from the movie. So I'm going to stop talking about it, and you can learn from the movie instead of from me today. All right, here's the lesson. Acts 16, verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. That would be the ancient city of Troy, by the way. Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia, and we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, right, she was a fortune teller, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself! We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men." The jailer told Paul, "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released. Now you can leave. Go in peace." But Paul said to the officers, "They beat us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now do they want to get rid of us quietly? No. Let them come themselves and escort us out." The officers reported this to the magistrates, and when they heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, they were alarmed. They came to appease them and escorted them from the prison, requesting them to leave the city. After Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and encouraged them. Then they left. So far. Okay. Now the video to the ends of the earth, which actually begins with the conversion of Paul.
Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now, get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the nations. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God. For I am commanding that you bring salvation to the ends of the earth.
We should turn back. Paul! We should stick to places we know are safe. Remember what happened the first time in Lystra? They tried to kill you.
Yes, Timothy. The people left me for dead, but God never left me.
But others have died. James. Stephen!
God never left them either. You know what the Lord commanded us. I made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. He will decide our next move.
Come to Macedonia. Please, come to Macedonia. Help us. Help us.
Look, Timothy, you look for a synagogue. Silas and I will explore the city.
Fortunes told here. See the snake girl who can tell your future. Fortunes! Fortunes! Come in! Come in! Don't be shy, she won't hurt you. Come in! Come in. Ah, come in, come in.
Men are the servants of the Most High God. These men.
Quiet! Quiet! You scared the customers!
Are the
quiet!
She's just a child.
Quiet!
High God.
These are our finest cloths from Thyatira. They're made out of our purest purple dyes.
They're fine, too fine for me. I'm a tent maker. I use material that is tougher and sturdier.
What brings you here?
I'm Paul of Tarsus, a traveler and a servant of God.
And I'm Lydia, a seller of fine cloths. Welcome to Philippi.
These men!
Sit down!
The servants of the man!
Sit down! Sit down!
Incense! Incense! Statues! Statues, charms, come here! I have got the best incense! Incense! Incense for your ancestral spirits! Incense, come here! Come here! I have got a charm for you to a ward off evil! Okay, a statue! Statue for your family shrine! Hey, go away! I have got all the gods known to Rome and will gladly provide you with any that are unknown. Name your favorite there, sir, and they will make it for you.
We have no favorite. There's only one true God.
What does he look like? Or is he a she?
The true God is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. His image cannot be made of gold or silver or wood.
Gods! Gods!
I won't be held responsible if he dies.
What can we say to people like this? They'll never listen.
It is no different from everywhere else we've been. They're just like us. People with their own struggles. Don't be timid. God has given us the power to proclaim the good news about Jesus. It is God's will for them to learn the truth about their Savior.
I've been told some people meet regularly by the river for prayer.
Perfect. That's where we start. Tomorrow, on the Sabbath. It's a very peaceful spot. A place to think and pray in safety.
My friends and I come here regularly. We come here to pray and discuss the teachings of Moses and the prophets.
You know the Holy Scriptures.
We're learning. Some Jews we met taught us about the holy days to observe, Sabbath rules to follow.
I know those laws. At one time, I was very zealous to obey them.
God wants us to be good. That's what He expects.
So how will God accept us when we do not live up to His expectations?
We must try harder, live better lives, be kind to people.
Such as your good kindness yesterday, when you helped the beggar boy.
I try. I try very hard to do what's good and right. But I fear in my heart it's not enough. Not enough for God to want me and love me.
Your son.
Yes. He died.
I understand you following the religious rules, doing good things for others. But have you done everything perfectly, because that's what God demands?
I can't. I failed. How could I ever hope that God would love me?
You're bleeding. Can I help? It's not my blood. Had to bury a man.
Stay with us a while.
No!
We can help you.
I have good news for you. God loves you.
God loves all of you. And He sees you as perfect in His eyes.
not because of what you've done, but because of what his son did. The Messiah you read about in the scriptures. I have seen him. I have seen him, Jesus the Christ.
Jesus? The Jewish teacher in Jerusalem?
He was much more than a teacher. He is the Son of God. The only one who perfectly obeyed the laws of God and saved the world from death.
How could Jesus save this world? He's killed, crucified like a common criminal.
Jesus willingly went to that cross. He suffered and died in our place. He endured God's judgment for all our failures, for the sins of the whole world. 3 days after, he came alive again and showed himself to his disciples. They saw his wounds on his hands, on his feet, on his side. More than 500 of his followers saw him. 40 days after he was raised from the dead, he returned to heaven, where he rules over all things for the sake of those who follow him.
Because of Jesus, God loves you.
But how? I'm unworthy. How can I have a life with God?
Jesus did everything necessary for you to have life with God. It's a gift earned by Jesus for you.
A gift? Not dependent on what I've done.
Those who are baptized into Jesus are clothed with his perfect obedience. We are radiant and without sin in God's eyes. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. He will never leave you.
Lord, wash away my guilt and cleanse me from my sins. Create in me a pure heart.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Give me money.
This is all I've got. I'll give them more.
Go.
Jeez, men are the servants of the must. High God. Jeez, men are the servants of the must. High God.
What God? Do you mean Zeus?
But these men are Jews.
There is only one God. He's the one who gives you the air you breathe. And the rain that makes your crops grow. God is not found in images of gold or wood fashioned by human hands. Nor is he limited to temples or sacred places. He's everywhere. But it is here, in our hearts, that he wants to dwell. To make our hearts his temple. The Most High God, who created everything and everyone, is the only true God. All good things come from him.
But remember, keep all your gods and ancestors happy, or troubles may come into your life.
Only he can protect us from evil. And there's a day coming when he'll judge all people and reveal things done in secret, all the hatred, the cruelty, the jealousy, the greed, all the immoral
and selfish behavior that arises from our heart, and there is only one who can save us from that judgment. God's son, Jesus.
These men are the servants of the Most High God.
In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her.
Jesus has set you free, child.
What's happened? What's happened? What have you done? Tell the spirit to return. Tell it. Beg it to return. You're useless to me now. Useless.
You. I'll make you suffer for this.
Citizens of Philippi, will you let these people mislead us with their evil ideas?
No!
Will you stand by as they destroy our way of life?
No! No! No!
People, these Jews, are stirring up trouble in our city. They deny our gods. They drove out the spirit from my slave, and they ruined my business.
Enough!
Have them stripped and beaten. Take them away!
No!
Listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call you as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock that higher than I. For you have been my refuge. A strong tower. Against the foe, the freedom that we have as believers, no one can take it away from us. Not these prison walls, not these chains, nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of our God. With my last breath, I will preach the name of Jesus who saved me.
Heavenly Father, keep us faithful to you. Give us peace in times of trouble. Let us love in the face of the violence and the hate.
I do to be saved?
Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. You and your household.
But how can God forgive me? I'm unclean.
He sent his son, Jesus, to take away your sin. Jesus died for us. He freed us from the chains of guilt and shame, just as we are freed from our shackles here. In baptism, God washes away sin and brings new life through the death and resurrection of his son, Jesus.
I want his forgiveness and his gift of a new life. We all do.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
The magistrate orders that these two are to be released immediately.
You are free to go. Go in peace.
Tell your magistrate
that we were falsely accused, beaten publicly without a trial, thrown into prison. And we are Roman citizens.
And now he wants to get rid of us quietly.
Roman citizens? Both of you.
A grave mistake.
We beg your forgiveness. But I ask you to leave the city now, in peace.
We accept your apology. And we will leave your city. Soon. Promise to leave the city.
Aww.
Luke will stay with you. He will teach you God's word. Remember, now you are a part of a kingdom greater than Rome can ever be. You're all citizens of heaven. And one day Jesus will return to bring you to live by his side forever, and that is something no one can take away from you. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you whom I love, my joy and crown. Stand firm in your faith, and don't be frightened by those who oppose you. Continue to learn God's word. Pray together. Care for each other. Rejoice in the Lord always. Oh, I must leave. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes.
Come with you. I have nothing here now.
Stay. Luke will teach you about Jesus, your Savior.
Christ Jesus, we are all children of God through faith. For all of us who were baptized into Christ have clothed ourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus.
Lord, preserve those new believers in the faith until the coming of your Son, Jesus. And make us a light for the nations, that we might bring your salvation to the ends of the earth. Thank you, Lord.
All right, thank you. You start to see the ripple effect of, you know, it's first Jerusalem, then Samaria, to the ends of the earth. It's great. If you had a chance to look at the credits, which I guess comes after this, but Chuck mentioned that you're acquainted with the guy that produced this. Yeah, it's what's the name of the guy again? Steve Betcher, yes. Yeah, he's first one of the first names that comes up in the credits, so I checked on that. Let's close our Bible class with prayer. This is a prayer from the hymn book, Christian Worship, number 181. If you want to join with me, I invite you to do that. Hymn 181, verse 5, Good Pentecost Prayer. We pray. Grant our hearts in fullest measure wisdom, counsel, purity, that we always strive to please you, working for you willingly. Let the gospel spread and grow, bringing Satan's overthrow. Amen. God bless your week. Thank you. Mm-hmm.